Moncrief on News Talk.
People in Dublin get scared about being chased. In Galway, it's a natural disaster, and in Limerick, it's being naked in public. One of those marketing exercises masquerading as a survey, it's from a mattress supplier, claims to have unearthed the different sorts of nightmares people have in different parts of the country, and a lot of them are very familiar. But do they have a specific meaning? Paul Gill is the author of the definitive book of dreams. Afternoon, Paul.
Hello, Sean.
If, say, a common dream is like you're falling, does that would that mean the same thing for everybody, or are there other factors that have to come into play as to what's actually going on there?
Well, there can be a generalized meaning. Falling is got to do with maybe, you know, letting yourself down, something terrible happening, falling flat in your face. But to each individual dreamer, they can have situations or circumstances going on in their lives that causes them to have that dream at a certain time. And of course, there can be variations on the dream. You know, you could be falling out of a plane, you could fall out of a tree, tripping a doorstep. So it comes down to the individual, what's going on for them in their lives at the time.
Yeah, and in the sense of, like, if you have the dream on a Wednesday, is it something that happened during the day that Wednesday? Or, you know, is there if you like, a delay reaction? Could it have been the previous weekend or the previous month even?
It will usually be something that's happened quite recently, yeah, so that during the day. But it also will have references to something that happened way back, especially if you get to a recurring dream. If you have a recurring dream, doesn't have to be an identical same dream happening again and again. It can be a similar dream, a similar theme. And that can flag issues in the subconscious mind, that your mind has an issue with something. So you could have a fear of failure, and then you have something coming up on work, a presentation, and you have this falling dream the night before. So your mind is telling you, this is how you feel in anticipation of this presentation that you're going to do tomorrow. You need to do something about it.
Yeah. And is your dream just alerting you to a feeling? Your dream isn't helping you to try and, you know, make yourself feel better about it or figure it out.
Well, it's like a report from the crew down in your subconscious mind telling you, this is the way things are down here. You need to take some action. It's like the Titanic sailing towards the iceberg, and they're saying, you know, you need to change course. Of course, dreams can become self-fulfilling prophecies, because if you don't change course, you're going to hit the iceberg again and again and again. So they can be self-fulfilling prophecies. We make them real. We make them happen.
By not doing anything about it.
By not doing anything. And then that becomes part of our identity or our belief about ourselves. So, you know, terrible things always happen to me. I never get promotion in work. These become self-fulfilling prophecies because we say them over and over again to ourselves. It's like manifesting. We manifest things through our thoughts, but not solely by thinking about things, but that's where they start. Everything starts. So if you have an attitude about yourself that good things never happen to me, I'm never lucky, you're not going to be doing the lotto with anticipation that you're going to win it. You probably won't bother doing the lotto. You'll just, you know, get depressed and kick cans down the street kind of thing.
Right, okay. Though the odds of winning the lotto are still the same whether you feel good about it or not.
Yes, they are. But people who tend to think, oh, I'm going to win the lottery, are going to do it more frequently.
Mike says, one of our listeners, I keep having a recurring dream that I've killed someone, but I never know who the person is or how it happened. In the dream, I just know I have killed someone and I am terrified of being caught. Then I wake up and the relief is overwhelming. P.S. I haven't killed anyone. Or so he says.
Or so he says. He's probably, no, he hasn't killed anyone. But what he has is maybe guilt of, that he's going to be found out, that he has done something and somebody's going to find out that it was him that did it. So he kind of, in that he's killing somebody in his dreams and he doesn't know who it is, he kind of, this anger, maybe it could be not particularly towards a boss or a partner or somebody like that, but anger towards life. Again, like, you know, life isn't fair to me. So dreams where you're killing people, you're putting an end to something, and maybe you feel that somebody's going to find out that you've done something that you're not proud of.
Right.
And it's going to catch up with you.
Okay. The fact that it's murder, does that indicate that the seriousness of whatever it was Mike did?
Well, it's like that. It's like murder's one of the worst things you could do. So it's sense of, you know, how are people going to look at him? How are people going to view him when they find out what he's done?
Mm. So Mike's done something. He's just, he hasn't murdered anyone, but like anything else, perhaps.
But the key to understanding what he has done or where the dream is coming from is, if Mike can trace back, when did this dream start happening originally? Was it back in his teenagers? We don't know what age he is now.
Yeah.
You know, how far back does this go? And that will give him an indication of where this where the meaning of the dream lies.
Yeah, Mike has texted back in actually to say, I haven't done anything.
Well, he would say that, wouldn't he?
He would, wouldn't he? Yeah. Yeah, it's too late now, Mike. You can't keep covering up. I keep dreaming about my ex. Does it mean I'm still in love with him? I don't think I am.
Well, you see, it depends on how they're dreaming about their ex. Are they dreaming about their ex and thinking, oh, thank God I've got out of that? Or are they kind of going, oh, what have I done? I should have stayed with my ex. So it's how they feel about their ex in the dreams. And when you dream about your ex, you're comparing what you had to what you currently have.
Yeah.
So you're comparing relationships. Or maybe if you haven't got a relationship at the moment, you're kind of going, well, was I better off then? And now, so it depends on how they feel in the dream towards their ex. If they feel positive, they might have regrets about leaving that relationship. And if it's negative, they're saying, aren't I so lucky to have got away?
Yeah. Even if that means they have regrets, they're going to have to analyse what those regrets are necessarily. It wouldn't necessarily mean they need to want to go back with that person.
No,
just
and
they might be lonely
them,
or something.
Yeah, going back with them wouldn't necessarily be a solution to the problem. But there's something, if they're kind of regretting, there's something lacking in their current relationship that they had previously. And the mind is identifying, you used to have this quality in this relationship. You don't have it now.
Yeah. The teeth falling out, this seems to be a fairly common one. I think I read that it's supposed to do with money.
There's a lot of kind of superstitions that have no basis in anything.
Yeah.
My dream interpretation comes from my training as a hypnotherapist and helping people with usually anxiety problems. So teeth falling out, if you imagine, like if your teeth fell out in reality, you wouldn't open your mouth, you wouldn't smile, you'd hide yourself away. So your teeth falling out can be like, you know, how we want to be perceived. We want people to like us. Your teeth also, like in nature, if an animal didn't have teeth, it wasn't going to survive. So if we don't have teeth, maybe you feel, the person who's having the dream feels that, oh, how am I going to survive? How am I going to cope? How am I going to manage? And then the other issue that it can be involved with, again, going back to animals, a dog, when a dog is angry, it'll strip its teeth, it'll snarl. But if the dog had no teeth, if it'd all fallen out or crumbled away, it would just, his gums, it wouldn't look very impressive. So sometimes it can be got to do with repressed anger, where we kind of take in our own anger and we don't express it out to the person that it needs to be expelled towards.
Okay. I mean, a lot of this, the language of dreams seems to be very metaphorical. It's what things represent rather than what they are. Can you ever have a dream where it's literally about what it appears to be about, if you know what I mean?
It can be. It can be literally what it appears to be. But I would have had recurring dreams of one phase of my life where there was a lorry as a truck driving towards me, and I'd wake up. I think I was awake in bed, but the lorry would come straight in through one wall and out the other wall, as if it went straight through me. And I go, "Whoa, what the hell was that?" And then I realized, well, I must have been asleep. A lorry obviously didn't drive through the house, but I would have that dream maybe three times in one night, and I remember trying to figure out what it was, and then it just clicked with me when I help people give up smoking from time to time. And at the end of it, I tell them a story about a frog that was stuck in a hole, a rut in the road, and it couldn't get out. Other frogs couldn't manage to help it to get out, but it got out by itself because there was a truck coming. There was a lorry coming and it had to get out or else it was going to be killed. So my dream, when I stopped calling the lorry a lorry and called it a truck, I realized, oh yeah, there's something coming down the road at me and this is going to smack into me if I don't take action. So it's not that I was going to literally get hit by a vehicle, but there's a situation coming down the road at me. You know, some people might have a version of that where it's a train, something coming down the tracks that I need to get out of the way.
Yeah. God, there's a few more texts coming in. Some of our listeners seem very disturbed. I have the weirdest surreal dreams when I give up drinking. And the most boring dreams when I am drinking. Is this usual?
Yeah, well, I mean, alcohol can seriously affect what goes on in your head when you were asleep. When I used to drink Budweiser, I used to have off-the-wall dreams. It was like taking psychedelics. I don't drink anymore. But sometimes if your dreams are boring while you're sober, it might be part of you thinking, well, you were more crack when you were drinking, or you had more fun, or maybe you perceived that you had more fun. So it can be how you perceive life is life better when you're drinking, or is it just mundane when you stay away from it?
Yeah, you're actually dreaming about the drinking or the not drinking.
Yeah.
Rather than the drink is having the effect. Yes, that's what you mean. Yeah. I have a recurring dream that my belly button is a Phillips head screw and when I unscrew it, my penis falls off, says Tony.
Okay. You have got a weird listenership, Sean.
Yes. Tony, I'm assuming, is a tradesman. Or if he's an OnlyFans account, he's not making many money out of that. What does that mean, even?
Well, you see, sometimes your belly button, when you think of it, it could look like the head of a Phillips head screw.
Yeah.
And screwing it out. And then this thing of Sigmund Freud, famously, he would have said that when you have dreams of losing your penis, it can be castration anxiety or, you know, I'm not man enough for a situation. So it's got to do with his masculinity and how he perceives himself as a man. Does he compete and does he compare well with other men? Well, obviously, if he hasn't a penis, he doesn't.
Yes. Okay. The fact that it's kind of allied to kind of tools and that kind of manly stuff.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's not a euphemism for penis anyway. It's a tool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I dream that I can hover about a foot off the ground, but not fly.
Ah, okay. Dreams got to do with hovering or flying is maybe getting above the ordinary, doing things that, you know, maybe other people think you can't do. Many people would have dreams where they fly or they can tell people, I can fly, and then when they go to fly, they can't fly. Mm. So flying is got to do with success, getting up and above the ordinary kind of way. Hovering is halfway there, isn't it? You're not quite successful, but you're not at ground level where everybody else is. So maybe that person has ambitions maybe to go further in their job, their career, relationship, but they're not quite there yet. They're just hovering. They're thinking about it.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's kind of an optimistic thing then, rather than...
Yeah, it's a good dream. Yeah.
My dreams all my life that I am gliding around as if I'm on a magic carpet. My legs are folded up under me like the wheels on a plane. Everyone around is under pressure, but I'm not.
Okay, well, that's a good dream.
That's a lovely dream. Yeah.
Yeah, they were probably watching that. I'm trying to think of the cartoon that was out when years ago, the guy flying on the carpet and the princess and that Aladdin, that was it. So maybe that person, when they were a kid, they watched Aladdin. And when you're on a carpet like that, it's a magic thing. So maybe they perceive that they can, you know, they can have a clear head and they can, you know, not lose it when everybody else around them is panicking. That again, that there may be a step above other people, not necessarily an arrogant way, but that they have skills and abilities that the ordinary person in the office or the job doesn't have.
Yeah. So she's a bit smug in that dream then.
Maybe, yeah, but it's a good dream because, it's good. I mean, there's so many people who have this internal self-talk where they're critical of themselves and they're telling themselves everything that's wrong. It's nice when you say nice things to yourself.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah, good for her. Yeah. Listen, Paul, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was fascinating. We could have filled out the rest of the show with the dreams that are coming in. Paul Gale is a hypnotherapist and the author of The Definitive Book of Dreams. Paul, thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.